I am unashamed. What about you?
So here we go. As promised on the Unashamed podcast, we have our sister and your daughter, Dad, and mom too. Because
yes.
What do you call mom, Phyllis?
My special mom.
Special mom, which is awesome. So it's weird. It's wild. It's you know, I guess it's different for us because we obviously had a few months to process and meet and talk, but it's still kind of crazy. And what's so funny, Phyllis, is we're so known as like the four brothers. And of course, you know, like I'm the one usually that's this, because I don't have a beard all year, that gets the scapegoat. But now there's a girl. So
there's
we're the only two ones without beards, yeah. But they say that's, you know.
But did you see how he packaged that? He's the weird brother, but he said, I'm the one that I don't have a beard.
So now we're both weird.
No, trust me. I know both of you long enough to know he's more weird.
And you're not weird at all, right?
I don't think so.
So mom and Miss Kay, of course. So mom, before we get into more of our story that we started last time. So Jay's mentioned a couple of podcasts ago that he had a Mother's Day gift for you.
Oh, yeah.
And he told the audience what it was going to be, which was $1,000,
$100
bills. So he said he did it to be able to buy you off because you've been on him about the plane or whatever we've been arguing about this time. So
because he's too tired to pay for half the plane, I know.
I know. So,
but he tells me all about winning on the stock market. So see, that's winning. Just like... Winning.
It's not really winning. It's investing with a payoff. But anyway, that's fine.
Yes. So I have a problem with you telling me all that. And then when I asked you to play half of something, it's like World War III.
No, the argument that I thought we had ended with the payoff was that Phil said, I have a free plane.
Yes. And so, that was totally.
Have you ever had a free plane before?
No, I would like somebody to go up there right now and try to get a free plane from the man that does that.
I did think it was weird. Speaking of weird, but
Jason.
I went with it. And then when I got the bill for the free plane, I thought, well, that must not have been free.
Yeah, Jason was hoping for the free plane.
No, and then
I just thought I got hustled by my parents, so I just brought it up because I thought next time.
And you didn't pay half. You paid only a third.
Because you felt guilty because of what your husband did, and therefore I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pay whatever you feel I need to. And you said, okay, give me a third.
I said, okay. So did the
I don't remember all that.
As you saw Hillary Clinton, I don't recall. We just went in, I don't recall. So did the $1,000, did it buy you off? Are you happy now?
I forgave him that second that I saw those $1,000 bills in there. I said, all forgiven, love and war.
She has really been really nice. Then I have a new prediction.
Her attitude changed.
Oh, I know.
Just boom.
People say, what can $1,000 buy? We know it can buy forgiveness.
But then, I don't want to start another argument, but then I made a prediction. I said, I predict that within 7 days, I told Missy this, that Miss Kay, my mom, will give away that $1,000. She will just give it away.
Well, within an hour, she gave me 100 of it. So,
there we go.
As a tip. That's right.
Now,
I got
Phyllis, I got a tip.
What you are hearing, Phyllis, is kind of a spinoff of the old movie, Being John Malkovich. This is like being a Robertson.
That. I've never even heard of that movie, Phil. Where are you watching
that? I can't believe you remembered that.
I didn't watch it. I just saw it advertised.
This is like being a
Robertson.
Being John Malkovich. That's funny.
I have nothing. I don't know who that is. I'm worried to even research it, and I don't know what to say.
It's an actor.
Jason, you need to get out more.
Phil, I'm out. You're not. That's what's disturbing. That's what's disturbing.
I mean, get out mentally.
Well, look, this has come back from 30 years. I don't know how you remember that.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, Phil has not left this 7 acres in months. And he's telling me to get out more. I'm leaving here in about an hour. So, I mean, I thought I was out.
You're really going out to a lot of places. You're going to your corner.
I'm almost to the Jeremiah Johnson line when the old mountain man said, you might ought to get out of these mountains and get out there and go back to one of the towns down there. And old Jeremiah Johnson said, I've already been to a town.
Ooh, that was a mic. That was a mic drop moment there.
Need we say more?
I've already been to
Phyllis, I'm feeling the need to just apologize again. I feel like every time I turn around, this is kind of embarrassing.
I have at least seen that movie. So I have seen
you?
That one. Yes, sir.
You saw Jeremiah Johnson?
Yeah. Or, I love that movie.
Did you see Being John Malkovich?
I think I might have seen it. I definitely have heard of it, but I can't remember it.
You mean the best role John Malkovich played to me? You remember when Eastwood was the Secret Service agent? In the line of fire.
The villain?
He was the villain.
Oh, that's John Malkovich.
He was the villain.
How would you even know who that is?
He's a very good actor.
He's good. Remember that one? Remember he was the bad guy?
Yeah.
He played a good one.
Oh, I know.
He made that gun out of wood, and then he shot that duck out on the water, and the two rednecks run up there, and they had things. Let me shoot it. They shot it, and then he just shot them both.
Yeah,
well,
he was a killer.
That seems kind of morbid.
It's a violent movie.
I haven't watched it, nor do I plan to.
Well, you're missing a good movie, is all I can say. So Mom.
Yes.
We talked a lot about you on the last podcast.
I hope it was all good.
It was all good.
Well, we did talk about the argument that was been going on, but it's been paid for.
For me and you? For 30 years? No, 50 years. 47.
Well, no, he's.
I'm not good with.
I
figures.
Could start well, talking,
but he probably couldn't argue until he started talking. So listen, we can say 49
three.
To be safe.
He was three.
He was so three before he started talking.
Well, no wonder he made any sense.
Well, Kay came up with this line. She said that we had only had one argument, and I thought that was weird. And she said it lasted 47 years.
That's true.
That is true. These two are like oil and water. So. No, I'm talking about we talked about you on the last podcast when we talked about Phyllis. And so I wanted you to talk a little bit about it. Obviously, we explained Jason and I getting the letter, kind of how we went through that process. And so I mentioned that when I went out to talk to you and Dad, because there was kind of like a process, it took up a couple of weeks before we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. And then I just felt like I had to let you guys know because we were going to have to try to figure out, is this true or not true? And so that night was really interesting, and I talked about that I felt like you knew a lot of stuff about it. It really convinced me because I wasn't sure. And Dad didn't know.
I knew.
He didn't remember anything. You knew a lot.
I knew a lot. And so, I knew a lot he didn't know.
Well, right. And I had never really thought about it before. If you had two people walking through a period of your life and one is basically either drinking or on drugs the whole time and is not, you know, in their own mind – but the person
a heathen
and the person who's with him though is not living that way, so you would tend to remember a lot from that era. And so it was really interesting, I think, your initial reaction to the whole thing. So he mentioned that you said for years that you knew one of these days a person was going to show up that you
I said a boy because I just
you thought there'd be a son,
a man,
right?
Yeah,
because of that period of his life.
Because I'm a prophetess, really.
No, she was saying that if there might be, it would be a son.
Right, maybe. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Looking like y'all.
For kind of weird reasons, I guess.
Did you ever imagine it would be a daughter?
No. That was the bright surprise of it all. I never.
What are you trying to say?
Thought he could produce a girl. What can I say? I mean, I wanted a girl the whole time, and no can do. When Jeb was born, the doctor told me he was going to be a girl. He lied.
Well, he sort of was.
No, he wasn't. He lied. And then I said, and then Phil said, just what I wanted, another boy. You did say that. I know you don't recall. You recall the movie, but not this. But it's okay. And so I was just thrilled beyond belief.
So, and you knew that night, you told me, like as soon as I read you the letter and showed it to you, you said, oh, this is true.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because we had not, and Dad's not sure because he don't remember and he doesn't know anything, but it was amazing that instantly you were like, oh, this is true. This is her. This has got to be the one. And I found that fascinating because I was not convinced. I thought the evidence was looking like it had a very good chance, but I wasn't sure. And then Dad didn't know much, so that didn't help. But it kind of convinced me that it probably was because you were so convinced that it was.
I knew it.
You know, it was weird to me what I thought. I didn't share this before, but as many of us that have used DNA as an illustration of the evidence of God, right. I mean, I've used that hundreds of times in
Size
speeches.
Used it too.
And what's weird is
Jace means coherently use it. Jace uses it coherently.
So. I mean, Si, let's save that for a later podcast.
If we had happened to be in this situation in an era where there was no DNA.
Which wasn't too long ago.
She would have never found her dad, and I would have never found my daughter.
That's
ever.
Right. That's right. That's but right. I've always used it as an evidence as far as just how in the world does the evolution process coming from an explosion or what you always say, seaweed or salt water, all that. We always use that because it's the most sophisticated code that we've ever run upon, and it's in our bodies. And so we're always like, well, who wrote the code? And now you have this code as actually a way to remove all doubt. I mean, I've used that illustration in my speeches. I'm like, how much? Because remember you said, now, how sure are we about this DNA? I was like, oh, we're sure. Because if your DNA is at a crime site, you're in trouble. That's right. I mean, that's how they look. I mean, we trust him. And so to me, it was an evidence, even more than that. Of God and how he worked, what you read last time in Romans 8, I truly believe that.
So let Phyllis tell her story from start to finish, and we'll see how she ended up finding me.
Well, yeah. And first of all, Phyllis, just welcome. Like, I guess this is the first time we're doing this publicly. So I've been anticipating this for a while because obviously all of us speak for a living. I preach, we speak, Jace, all of us do a lot of interviews and a lot of stuff. And so I've been highly anticipated, excited about being able to introduce you to the people that follow us and listen to us. And because to me, it's a compelling story of finding, connection to people. And it was very evident when we all met you that DNA, your DNA, your genetics, so much about you fits so much about us. And we all recognized it very early on, even by phone before we met you. Which was amazing. So we'll take a quick break, and then I want you to tell about kind of what began this, your quest, why you were looking for your dad. So let's take a quick break. So we got Zach with us, my business partner. And so Zach's a business guru. I guess he would be our family business guru, I guess, unless you counted Willie. I don't know. But which Willie,
Willie may object to that assertion.
He would.
So, Zach, how important are HR people to organizations? I mean, big organizations, would you say?
And you mean human resources.
Human resources.
Because when he first did this, I thought he was talking about home runs. I thought, well, of course, if you had a softball team, you need somebody to be able to hit some home runs.
Well, that's right. And I forgot what Dad thought. He thought it was something else. Human resources, what we're talking about.
So, you have collected at the table here, at one time, the world's greatest spades player, so card player, and one Jason Robertson.
Okay.
That was before his beard turned a little gray. I don't know. He was on the internet talking with the, Manhattan, big dogs and all this stuff. So you got them. Then you got like the guys, the financial type, y'all two, Jason's in the stock market. And you got me who helped bring y'all forth. And it's just a scary thing to unveil. If you know
welcome to the show.
To investigate.
I get it. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Zach. So, anyway, that being said, from Dad, small businesses, Zach and I have a small business. And so, it's hard. You have human resources needs, but how do you do it? Because you don't want to hire a person. Yeah. Money, benefits, all this stuff. So we got a company, Bambi. but not B-A-M-B-I, B-A-M-B-E-E, Bambi, Bam to the B, that basically has a virtual HR guy or gal for your business. So you want to check these guys out. You get a dedicated HR manager. They're available by phone or email, real-time chat, which is important these days. And with the coronavirus, this is especially good. So month-to-month, no hidden fees. You cancel anytime. Check them out. Bambi.com, BAMBEE.com/Robertson. And if you go there now, you get a free audit. So that's BAMBEE.com/Robertson.
So it's been 2 or 3 years ago. My oldest son's fiance bought him a DNA kit, and he was interested in learning his ethnicity. He completed the kit, sent it in, got it back, and looked at his little pie chart. Tells you how much of this or that that you are from wherever you are in the world. And he said, you know, he told us it doesn't make sense. There's some stuff missing here that we were told was part of our ethnicity. And I looked at it. I'm like, you're right. You know, this isn't matching up to what we've been told. So I called my brother and mentioned it to him. And he said, well, you know, something doesn't line up there either. You know, our dad's not your dad, or everything we've been told isn't true. I have a sister. I have a brother and a sister.
I mean, I'm sure that had to be just a shock. But you had told me before, you always kind of felt something wasn't right.
I wasn't shocked. Yeah. I really wasn't. It just kind of was like, I'm thinking this might be kind of a moment where I learned that what I've suspected all along might be true. My sister had people in the family make comments to her, like, you know, your dad's not her dad kind of thing. So she was on it. She wanted to find out, and she did a DNA test. And so I finally did one. And when I did, it came back that they were my half-siblings. So I knew for a fact at that point. And what that does is it allows you to then investigate. You can find out who your DNA matches are. Who are you related to? So I could quickly see from the paternal side, you know, these are the names that I was coming up with, surnames. And, it, you know, little digging, internet searches, looking through the site, and put together a family tree, so to speak. My husband helped me with it. We could fill in a lot of blanks, and then it kind of got down to just a few blanks and had it narrowed down. And I'm like, I think I know who this might be.
Yeah.
And then,
you're like, oh, and fortunately, I think I remember asking you, I was like, have you ever seen that show Duck Dynasty? And you were like, no, I haven't. And you are apologizing. I'm like, oh, no, don't apologize. That's going to be very helpful moving forward. I didn't want the shock.
It just so happened that maybe when it was first coming out, we had heard of it and we knew about it, but we never watched it. And then we went on the mission field for 5 years when your show was really running and popular, and we just didn't get it. So we never watched it. It just did never come up. It was not on our radar.
Just seems like an amazing coincidence to me.
But especially for helped. Something so yeah. well known.
It's helped.
Yeah, and the fact you didn't really know us through that
right.
at all.
I had no preconceived ideas, really. I tried to watch a couple episodes just to thinking, hey, you know, get to kind of see who they are. And I knew, you know, that this is reality TV, how much of this is actually reality versus not. And it just... It felt like, you know, that's not what I want my first impression to be. I want my first impression to be not that what I was seeing was, you know, that wasn't good, because it was a funny and wholesome show and I enjoyed it. Yeah. It's just that I wanted my impressions and first impressions of you to be what my impressions were with you, and not through the lens of a television show. That's how I felt.
Which was a good way to view that, because my take on the show, because I was late to the show because I went on the first 3 seasons, that everybody... You know, obviously there's a lot of multifaceted personalities. And so Willie kind of got locked in early on as the bad guy because he's running the company. And all that's true.
He has a little side to him that's difficult at the working
environment. He does. But he's also super funny. And like a lot of the elements of his personality you didn't get to always see on the show. So if you only had that one prism, you would miss some of that. It's like Jace, the serious side of Jace that people love, his teaching, his ability to do the Bible.
Every
you wouldn't
time,
have got that from the show.
No, every time I would get serious on the show, edit.
They didn't want him that way. It's an element of his personality. So you're right. If you had only viewed it through that lens, you would have missed him.
Exactly. Right. We prayed about this a lot. We got counsel from people that were close to us, godly people. And we thought, you know, how do you write a letter like this no matter who it is. We didn't want to disrupt someone's life. I knew he is married. I did not want to hurt her. And we talked about, I heard you talking about Zach calling me for the first time. And that was one of the first questions I asked him is, how would Miss Kay feel about this? Because if this is something that's going to upset her, we can stop this right now. And he said, oh no, she's a loving, forgiving, nurturing person. And I was just like, okay, you know, like, that's great. You know, good news to hear. So we did pray about it. And for us, we are believers. We've been going to church for years, a lot of ministry working in the church. And to us, church was a safe landing place. And so we knew that you had pastored, a part of your church, elders at your church. And I kind of dug around on the Whites Ferry Road Church.
It is
website.
Easy to find some stuff about us.
It is.
I mean, Dad would know about it, but you know, you can find out some information about the Rogers.
And at what point did you realize, okay, a lot of this I'm reading may not necessarily be true?
I didn't read a lot of it. I tried not to. And you know, the few people we told, as soon as I would say something, there was the initial like, and then they'd pick up their phone and start looking stuff up. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to hear all of that. I don't.
Well, right. Because a lot of it obviously on the internet is not true, but you were reading the true stuff. So,
So we decided we crafted a letter. We mailed one, to the church. We also, because we were digging around on that website, saw that you were preaching, I think the last Sunday of December at the church.
Yeah.
And, which I don't know
Jace
if you ever knew this.
That,
that is the only time in the history of my church involvement that they ever let me be in charge.
All
of,
the sensible people were gone. And it was like,
well, they were
gonna, turning over the keys to Jace.
I made a comment like I often do because I can't keep my mouth shut.
Amen.
Got an amen from Miss K.
Easy. She's trying to get another 1,000.
Yeah.
I made a comment because I said, what are y'all doing? Because we do the worship. I said, what are y'all doing for the Sunday in between Christmas and New Year's? And they said, oh, we were just going to have a church meeting, like kind of a meeting of the church.
State of the church.
I said, that is the dumbest idea I've ever heard, which I shouldn't have said that. And so they said, will you do it? And I thought, well, I shouldn't have said that, you know. And I said, well, I just will. So
bit.
I thought, I remember we were in the duck blind, and I said, why don't you preach and we'll sing? I'll do the little speech for the Lord's Supper. And I said, I'll get all the kids down there and we'll do something for them. And so we did that. And that is the one Sunday that you visited.
I had nothing and to compare it to. And I thought you were fabulous.
Well, and he hadn't been up there on that pulpit in for a while. A
couple years.
Well, and then with Jace, he did such a good job, then we haven't met since. We've been in quarantine, so we're just waiting to get back so he can take back.
So you're seeing me give a lesson, and you're in the audience. Mm-hmm. I'm your father, you're my daughter, but we've never seen each other for 45 years. So what were you thinking?
Well, never.
You weren't there when she was a baby.
Never saw her.
So what did you think? I mean, you're like,
I thought, how cool is it that the first time seeing my dad, he's preaching the gospel because your message was the core gospel. I mean, that to me was like, that's a cool dad.
You know, you said something.
That's really good.
You said something, Phyllis, that struck me early on. I can't remember when you said it, but when we were talking about when you were born, I said, well, you know what, by that time, dad was converted by the time you were born because obviously, you know, months earlier he was not. And you said, well, I like the idea that when I came into this world, that my dad was now a believer.
Already a believer.
Right, which was really powerful. I thought that was a really neat perspective.
It is pretty amazing.
So you were born and he was born again.
In the same year. That's exactly right. Yeah, you made that observation. I thought, that what a neat thought. You
People
know?
Sometimes wonder if God still works today, you know? Just bringing that
hearing
up.
Hearing these circumstances and the way God orchestrated all of that, I just see God in every step of the way. I don't believe in coincidences. That you happen to have a letter and you forgot things, or you were preaching, you usually don't, and you read it. Just, you know, I don't. There can't be that many coincidences. God was in this story and writing this story. And is
so, what did you do with the letter you had? You were sitting there, and
she was
going to
give it to you.
And Jace is handling the music part.
The problem was,
the letter.
I was in charge that day, and so there was a lot of things going through my mind, which is. Kind of unusual.
Well, he's already said he's in a fog anyway.
And
put him in charge in a fog and
And so then it was, I'll let you tell about the meeting.
Yeah. Because I
was nervous. I sat out in the parking lot thinking, am I going to really do this, go in here? And my husband was a cheerleader. He was like, you can do this. Like, you've come this far. You can do this. So we made it into the building. You know, we're sitting in the pew.
Every, like, next step as
I'm
you
like,
go.
I'm sitting here, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. And, you know, you walked in with, like, an entourage of bodyguards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we know those bodyguards.
I can't just go hand him a letter, you know.
I'm like, that the truth?
What are they carrying? I don't know.
They were carrying weapons.
They were carrying. I'm sure they, that.
I figured that. And I just, at one point I cried. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And then you bugged out pretty quickly, like right away. And I'm like, well.
That is so unlike that too, to just bug out fast.
Oh, gosh.
That never happens.
So I was sitting there and I just was like, I just got this, whatever it is that came over me. I thought, okay, I'm just going to go give this letter to you. So I walked right up to you, just, here you go. Here's this letter. Will you please give this to your dad? It's really important to me. And you were like, sure. You were super friendly and just kind of patted Tony on the shoulder and just, hey,
miracle
guys.
Miracle happened again.
No, okay. You need to get out more.
Where are y'all from? Oh, man, I'm glad that you came to the service today. You were super friendly talkative, and you put it in your bag. And I'm like, well, hey.
He never thought about it again until he got the second letter.
But, okay. You know, I'm glad I was friendly.
Things that you said since then, like I lose my phone and this and that.
Yeah.
You have a nephew who's a lot like you. So, you know, it's okay.
So the letter comes to Jace. What do you do with the letter?
Hang on. Let's take a break and then tell Jace. So Dad, I've been telling you about Omega XL, which I've been taking now for about a month.
Yep. And you tried it, huh, Phil?
Yeah.
And I tried it.
Give us a report.
Yeah, give us your report.
I tried it, and there is no doubt about it. Your legs get a little achy from time to time. 74 years old, walking on a tire, going around through mud. I started taking those things about a week.
You've been taking about a week.
About a week or 10 days, I thought, you know what? My legs feel a whole lot better.
I mean, at your age, anything better is the goal.
There you go.
Moderately better helps.
Yeah. So I say kudos to the pristine waters of New Zealand with the mussel shells.
There you go. So these things come from mussel extract. We talked about it before. Really good product. Basically helps with inflammation. Dad is, and look, they tell me it gets better like at the 8-week mark.
And I'm not dreaming, thinking maybe it. No, it did.
We might ought to go catch some mussels down here and run them through the testing process.
Mussels in the river. That
might
work.
Right. So we want you to promote a healthy immune response. It helps your immune and anti-inflammatory, which is really good. So here's what you do. OmegaXL.com/Phil. OmegaXL.com/Phil. If you order now, you get your second bottle free.
I will say that's the only pills I take.
And I didn't even know if you'd do it, but you said, you know, when I told you.
I don't take pills, but with that, I tried that, Al.
It's natural, that's right.
Yeah.
Omega.com/Phil, or you can call them 800-844-4888. 800-844-4888. Omega.com/Phil, and help your joints.
So here's the weird part. Phil, I've told you this, but we're not connecting. So I have that letter, but I didn't read it. So then days later, weeks later, maybe?
About a week.
A week later, I stop at Duck Commander.
On his way here.
Where she also had sent a letter. They handed me your mail. It's the same letter that I have in my bag. It's another version of it because she was smart enough to realize.
I didn't know that. I'm just now getting this information.
So I came
That's
down.
Why we're telling the story.
And then when Al and I go through the letter.
Because she had also sent
I go
one to the
back
church,
and look at the original. I'm like, oh, I already had this. You see, that's how it happened.
So that's how we all had the three
so
copies.
So how long? So y'all read it.
And well, another, then the process.
And I'm still not aware of anything.
It was another 10 days or so before that night I came down and talked to your mom. So that process, that's what we were trying to figure out. Do we do a DNA test with somebody else in the family? Because our thinking was if one of the cousins or even one of us did a DNA test, would it then show up where we found it? And so, but then there was a lot. I didn't know enough about it. Finally, I just said, Zach and I decided, look, let's just – let's just tell them. You know, let's just see about this thing. And I knew ultimately a paternity test was the only way we could know for sure. And so I was glad that Dad agreed to do that, which was important.
This whole thing made me think. We're in the book of John now, and the next chapter that we'll get to is John 7. But Jesus, you know, he would wow the crowd with what he said, obviously, because he's the Son of God. And they're attack on him was every time they would get caught up in listening, they would go back to, oh, but you're from Galilee. So this can't be, well, you can't be who you say you are. You know, you can't be from God. And I kind of think about that in that process of trying to figure out, is this real? You know, our first impression was always, well, it can't be. I mean, this surely not.
This we would have known earlier. You try to think of all
how
the
how do
reasons.
You not know? You know, remember, I think I asked you that. I'm like, how do you not know this? And you were like, hey, it was pretty well a 10-year foggy.
It was a blur.
Yeah, I mean, you're on drugs and you're doing things that you don't even remember. And so, but I thought about that just because, you know, when good-hearted people use godly principles, and a lot of them have been used in this process, it's love and forgiveness and, you know, all these qualities. It's amazing how all of a sudden it becomes back to these powerful qualities that Jesus was showing. All of a sudden, it's like a light bulb comes on.
Right. Which makes a big difference. I mean, obviously. And you're right. It's trying to imagine. You're imagining so much because then you start thinking about it. And it was hard for me to sleep during this period of time because my mind was just spinning with the possibilities, you know, and and part of me was excited because if it was true, you know, I mean, I have a sister out there, you know, and so that was kind of the way we had the conversation.
Y'all basically said, okay, Dad, they take your DNA.
We had to walk it through.
They're going to take her DNA. We're going to see if it matches, and I'll get back with you.
That's right. And so that kind of led up to this moment, and we thought we would get the results back in 24 hours. But then it turned out it was like a couple of days. It took longer, which was just excruciating for us. And then we also had a trip planned. So when we were gone, we weren't even here with Dad. So that's why I had to call him to tell him, you know. And so I hated that we weren't here. But I want to talk a little bit about that, Phyllis, from your perspective. So,
well, I wanted to say one thing before you do that. Because I don't think I told Phyllis this. But so I hear this. You know, basically, I said for about 3 days, probably once an hour, I'd say, I have a sister. It was like, you know, I'd go on, I was like, I have a sister. And then I started doing that out loud to Missy. And she's like, yep.
So your mother never told you that I was your father. She never told you that.
No.
So nobody knows. And so, look, I have answered questions my whole Christian life about situations. I've had people on the couch saying, here's the situation, and it's been things like this and what you do. But here I am in my own moment saying, well, how am I going to handle this? Because part of me was upset that, well, my dad was leading a sinful life. He betrayed my mom. This is a reminder of that. Then part of me was like, well, here's this woman, because we had already, you know, dug on your life too, and I'm like, she seems awesome. I mean, this is because I've always been a champion for people who have to do it the hard way, and unfortunately, you had to. You're in a situation of, you know, that you didn't choose or whatever that's made it really hard, I think, to find a purpose in life and a meaningful relationship with God. But I've always had a heart for those kinds of people, because people I share Jesus with, people that have, you know, been abused or had bad, you know, childhood, it always inspires me to see them just say, this is it. This is the moment. I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus. They forgive their, you know, past aggressors or whatever. And I just always champion those people. So what I did was I read 1 Corinthians 13. I'd like to read it just because I was sitting on my couch 3 days into this information, and I thought, how do I respond? And I just thought, I need a reminder of the most probably commonly used section of Scripture in the Bible. But it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. And I would kind of stop and think, okay. it does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. So then I was like, well, that's what I'm going with.
But her awesome. Quest yeah. to find out seems to not be based on maybe I'll find he's a good man. Maybe I'll find out he's a bad man.
She just wanted
I
to know.
I think what she's saying is, who am I? Where did I? Well, right. Who is my father?
Yeah. I wanted it to answer some questions in a way because I knew. It's like I knew always growing up something was different. I was different. Physically different, some personality differences, just the way I approached life and did things. I always went to church. My parents never took me to church. Grandparents didn't go to church with me. I went on my own. It was weird. To everyone else around me, people would make comments, but I always went. I'd walk to the nearest one, or I'd go with a friend, or I always found a way to go to church. And my testimony is that I stayed in school, graduated school and did well and wanted to do well, and my relationship with the Lord. And those two things are what brought me out of a childhood such that I had. And I think that's just God's grace. Yeah. And I can say to people also, like what you've said, when I've worked with people who have had backgrounds that were tough, you know, you can use that as an excuse to live yeah. a life that is not a great life, that is not a moral life or a godly life, or you can use it as a reason to say, I'm not going to live like that. Mm. I choose to do different. Yeah.
So when the call comes to me from Al after the DNA test on my part and your part, and I said, what about it? Because I knew he was going to call and tell me. And he said, it's a match. I said, call her up. Get her down here. I said, get her down here. So then we waited until she arrived, and we met at
yeah, hang on. Before place. We tell that story, let's take a quick break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Yeah, I want to get into that. That was really powerful. So we had probably within 2 or 3 weeks after we all knew, we lined up for you to come down, and you have two sons, and their fiancés came with you guys and your husband, and so what was that like for them? Like, how did they take all this? Because obviously you guys were all kind of searching together, then you find it, and I'm curious as to what their thought process was leading up to you guys coming down here. Were they excited? Were they
just
apprehensive?
Kinda like, you know. Well, this is interesting. Let's see what happens, you know. Our oldest son is very much a, when I see this on paper, then I'll believe it. I see what you're saying, but he wanted to see proof of it.
Right. They remind me of me.
So.
Me too.
So the youngest was, he's our rolling stone is what we've all always said. And he said, hey, if this is true, then this will be interesting. We'll go for it. And the oldest is, hey, I don't know. Yeah. We'll wait and see. So, so they were excited though. You and Lisa have been an anchor. You have, I call you my pastor brother now because you're very much a pastor. And, I was getting text messages, you know, and there's no roots, right? No roots at this point. So yeah. Every time I would get that message, it would be like reaffirming to me, like, okay, yes, they really want to reach out to
we
me.
We pretty much text it every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was important. Yeah. Like, and
I called you at some point in there.
You did. And it meant a lot. Like, yeah. You know, everybody kind of messaged me, and everyone, you know, everyone had their own little personality, you know, like Willie's like, I'm the coolest one or something like that, you know. They
all liar. He's also a liar. Yeah, that's right. But now you know.
And even Shocker. Their wives, like it was beautiful that everyone chose to reach out to us and include all of us.
I wanted it to be eyeball to eyeball, so I didn't, I remained silent.
Phil, you don't have a phone, so it's,
well, it's a, you can't text.
No one's here. You're going to call her? They just said, they wait. I said, but wait till she gets here.
Well, yeah. So when Lisa and I met you at the airport, when you guys flew in, and of all things, we get into that. I forgot. I never told that story, Jay. It's cop stories, because there's a police officer out there at the airport, and he's hardly ever there. And so normally it's no big deal about leaving your cars up front, but that day he happened to be there, giving me a hard time about us having two vehicles there. And I'm dealing with him when we have our big moment. Y'all are coming up. Trying not to get a ticket, you know, and I'm explaining everything to him. But anyway, when we hugged you guys, I mean, we all started crying. And we started crying when we got in the truck. Because I had been like, I'm not a big crier, but as I've gotten older, I've gotten more emotional. But, like, it was kind of just pent up for me because, like, just the idea of you guys. And so to actually physically see you, even though we had pictures of you, it was a powerful moment. And we kind of cried emotional. There for the first 10 minutes until we said, all right, enough of that. And we drove out to my house for the initial meeting, and then we had a bigger one with Willie and everybody. Because Dad, it was interesting because Dad had a request that he wanted to just talk to you for a few minutes, just the two of you guys, if that was okay. And you said it was. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of met in the yard or, you know, in the driveway and had our initial hugs. And then you and Dad kind of talked for, what, 45 minutes, just the two of y'all on the couch. And the rest of us were in the kitchen. And
everybody had warned me that he's not very nurturing and be prepared. And if they hadn't told me that, I would have never known. I found you to be very nurturing, you know, grabbing
by
the
hands. He held your hand and he led you into the.
Well, good. I haven't heard this part.
Yeah, because, you weren't there for this part.
Jace, you never saw my gentle side.
No. All I got was the hammer.
I mean, I was in shock, and I've lived with him how long? 50 years?
Well, it's not every day that you look out and say, I didn't know I had a daughter for 45 years, but she's just around the door. Right
I like how you're looking at your watch and you've never owned a watch in your life.
Saying, like if there had only been a watch there.
That's the humor.
Mean, if you've never heard of this girl and all of a sudden they're like, you have a daughter that you haven't. Didn't know existed for 45 years. It's a little interruption in your schedule.
Yeah, it's a shock.
As far as your thinking goes, I'm like, I did tell her pretty quickly, girl, you're the best thing that ever came out of my past.
Yeah.
Because up until
she
showed up, I had nothing good to say about what happened before I repented. I have nothing good. I just walled it off, the life of sin, and I left it. And hid out and finally got on my feet in the faith. But you say, and you thought that was it. That's right. It's behind me, rearview mirror, and it's been so long ago that it's just a blur now.
Right.
But I look up, and here comes this girl out of the blur, out of the blue, out of the blur. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, if you never knew you had a daughter and 45 years later, she's standing in front of you, you're like,
yeah.
It's overwhelming. You know, it's funny because Dad, until you got here, Phyllis, Dad kept calling you little girl to me.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, kid.
He would say,
but I forgot the 45 years.
Tell me about the little girl. I said, Dad, she's 45 years old. She's not a little girl.
He took me out on the boat a couple days ago, and he still calls me little girl.
Yeah. Well, you're Willie.
Little girl, just pull that boat.
And it's weird. I was thinking, daughter.
It's weird how everybody responded. Man, I was kind of hot a little bit because I asked you, I was like, how did you not know this? But you were like, because I thought you were going to say, well, I just forgot. But you're like, no, I didn't know. And I was like, oh.
Well, Jason, you've quickly forgotten the way he was in those 10 years.
Which is a positive
thing. Which is a positive.
Look, that's what I'm saying. A lot of the way it's hard for me, I shared in the last podcast about this, even some of the stories I've heard from his old buddies and the ones that were still alive, it's just hard. We're so far past that now.
That's right.
That it's, you know, it's just hard to imagine that.
Let's take one last break. So after this initial thing at my house, which was probably about an hour, we went over to Willie's house, and that's where you met Jason and Missy, and Jeff was
well,
there.
Well, met us again, sort of.
Well, right, yeah, officially. I guess that's right. Right. Where he wasn't in the fog. And Willie and Corey. And so you know, from my perspective, Phyllis, I'm interested to see what you thought about it then, is I was afraid of you being overwhelmed because we're a huge family. And you haven't had a huge family. I mean, you guys have been pretty mm-hmm. tight. And so, like, I was thinking, because we got cousins and you're still meeting people, you know.
Yes.
Every time you're down here, you meet more people that are related to us. So did you feel overwhelmed? Like, that first day, I know that first part was emotional and yet very touching. And I felt not very awkward, which surprised me. I never felt awkward.
There was never any awkward.
Which is so weird. Think about that. We did not know you at all.
It was just like puzzle pieces clicking into place.
Isn't that amazing?
It just made sense. It felt right. It was like I've always known you in a way.
That's right.
And just a lot of like-mindedness. So it was never awkward and overwhelming, maybe a little, but there were the six of us there, you know, since you invited all of us. So we had pockets of people who were able to visit, and we just kind of went from person to person. There's always food involved. Anytime there's great food involved.
Of course.
I gave her a hug, which I'm not in the habit of doing, but I put my hands on her face because I've just realized DNA said she's mine, my daughter. So I put my hands on her face and I'm looking at her eyes.
Well,
I'm
glad that wasn't weird.
Yeah,
for you.
That was
you survived
weird.
That.
And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, okay, if she's mine, I ought to see a little bit of me in her. So I mean, I'm just looking at her face and I thought.
Well, what I meant was from her perspective,
I'm,
Phil, from her perspective while you're doing that, that means your face was close to hers and she was like, this is scary.
You know, she was saying, this guy's Joe Biden here. So, but, you know, you're kind of a composite to me of, because there are not a lot of Robertson women. You know, Dad had two sisters and there's a few girl cousins, but not a ton. It's way more male-centric family, at least our generation. But you have a composite of a lot of my, you know, I can see some of my Aunt Judy in you, my Aunt Jan, especially when you get on one of your rants, you know, because you can do a pretty good rant.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of my girl cousins. Mm-hmm. So you do have that. And Jace is right. You look a lot like Granny, mm-hmm. you know, in some ways like Dad's mom, mm-hmm. Which I hate, you know, you never got to meet them because, you know, they were very special to us, obviously. So now you got the stories. And
what's
the
interesting
that's
to
good
me
and bad,
is, that,
but,
is that your mother named you, not telling you who your father is, but named you Phyllis. Had you thought about that, or did you think about that when it finally?
Our oldest son was the first to realize that and messaged and was like, Phyllis? Question, you know,
that hit me.
Lisa,
in the process,
in the
and I was like,
that
is turning into a lifetime movie here. You know what I mean?
This could be a lifetime movie.
That is kind of weird.
It was very weird.
But I'll echo what they said. I know the DNA and, you know, I believe in that, but I knew you were my sister pretty quickly in when you were, I thought, well, she doesn't mind a good argument. Which I really like.
Hey, man, again.
And I said, she's pretty blunt. I was telling Missy, I said, she's blunt. I was like, yep, definitely my sister.
It's true stuff.
So, So it was cool.
So, Phyllis, all I can tell you is I'm glad you found me. I'm glad I found you. All I have to say is welcome aboard.
I'm glad God found both of you.
Ms. Kay, what do you have to say, little
boy? I have to say this. Who stayed with you 10 years through all of that?
I'm glad you stayed with me to witness this and how it all worked out.
I know.
What a gracious, kind, godly woman you are.
Because, you know, think about it.
I had so much.
She had every reason to call me.
Well, everybody I knew and every member of my family and even your family, except your mom and dad, said, you're an idiot to stay with him. You're going to be like a welcome mat. You're
so
just
why
stomp
didn't
on
you
him.
Stay the course with a heathen like myself?
Well, you know what? You have my grandmother to thank for that. Nanny was her name. And she taught me about the Bible, and she always told me, she said, you just marry one man, and it's one woman for one life. She said, there's no such word to me as divorce. Somebody created it, but it's not there. you'll never say it. I said, so I'll never say that? And she said, that's right. She said, and you're going to have to fight for your marriage. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. Why would I fight for my marriage? I've already planned it all out. Because I was going to marry a pioneer man, which I did.
Yeah.
And I was going to.
What do you mean, Miss Kay, by pioneer man?
A woodsman, a fisherman, a man of the earth, a man that
an outdoorsman.
She forgot
that could
to.
he could take me across America like the, you know, they did back
in the 1800s.
She forgot to tell you the pioneer man has some baggage.
She left that part out.
Yeah, well, that's why she told me to fight for my marriage.
Yeah,
fight, and that's what I did. And other people would say, "Why would you live with him? He's a jerk." I mean, he's two-time, and you even know it. I mean, the Bible can release you from that.
Yeah.
I said, I know, but I choose to stay because I want my three boys, at that time it was three, to have this home. And they said, well, they're not seeing a lot of good stuff at that home. And I said, nope, I it's in my heart, I can't leave. I just can't do it. And both of these, I will say, they fought for me the best they could against their dad when he was acting so bad. Jason one night came in and he pulled my hair. And Jason jumped on his back. You don't remember this. You was a little boy.
I remember you telling me about it because you were thankful, you know.
And I know. And I said, and he said, get off me. Get off me. And Jason said, don't hurt my mama. Don't hurt my mama. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to do something to you if you hurt her. You know, and Phil's trying to shake him off, get him off his back. But, you know, it was so, that was a memory I had. Plus, Alan, he took care of everything. When things were bad, he was 7 years old, and he washed y'all, gave y'all a bath, fed y'all, put you to bed, took care of all that. He's seven.
Yeah. I remember that, Al, as being like the father figure, you know, and then later on I was like, hey, let's kick me out of the nest because so you know finish. I don't want
so
you.
So move on. Yeah. So I'm waiting for the $1,000 so card, actually, belated Father's Day card.
When she finally does step out, she's stepping out. I had been repentant for, I mean, just a few months. I repented a few months before you were born. So you came out of a sinful situation. But now that you're here, you say, you know, I've been following Jesus for 45 years. So
absolutely.
It is.
God's hand has been on my life, all my life. And that grace that God was extending to you, saving you and changing you and your family, I believe that extended to me.
Somehow.
I don't understand that exactly, but God is mysterious and big and great, and I just believe that that's what happened.
And you wouldn't even have a baby brother if I hadn't stayed.
I doubt, Al, that this is the only time this has ever happened.
Oh, I'm sure.
What do you think? It happens quite
a
bit.
For give a few words for the ones out there that might.
Look, it's all in being in a position of a believer for when you receive any kind of news, especially something life-changing, that you'd be ready for it. And I think our family was, and certainly your family was, which is what merged us. So I just want to thank our Unashamed podcast audience. You realize, you know, nobody has known this story. We share it with you first because you guys give us your time to be able to listen to the Bible. So we wanted you to hear Phyllis's story first from us, and we're proud to be able to do that. We got a little more we're going to talk about. Those of you who are blazetv.com/unashamed subscribers, we're going to give you an opportunity to have a little more of our conversation. But for our Unashamed audience, thank you so much. We'll keep doing Bible study. That's what we do.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook. And be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.